father's chest. I see my father with Arrow's mother. Where is his brother? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They've chained me up to a camel's back. Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, why are their bodies laying on these sands? Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone. Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone. Abbas. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Do they not know that is the neck that our prophet kissed? Heaven's final bliss, heaven's final bliss, I see from above. So I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They ripped my earrings right off my ears. Ya Abbas, Ya. They cut his fingers to steal a ring. Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone. Abbas, Ya. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone. Abbas. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Do they not know that this is the son of Ali and Zahra, the prince of heaven? Oh, the oppression. And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. I wait for the day Al-Quds is yours. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, I wait for the day justice is served. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, I ask for you to come in my life. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla, I ask for you to come in my life. Ya Mawla, Ya Mawla. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل الطاهرين. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen
regime. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, Sheikh Osama. Thank you for joining us once again for our nightly program. Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Hassan Fakhruddin for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. I'm going to be reading from Surah Az-Zumar, Surah 39, page 466, starting verse number 68. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونفخ في الصور فصعق من في السماوات ومن في الأرض إلا من شاء الله، ثم نفخ فيه أخرى فإذا هم قيام ينظرون. وأشرقت الأرض بنور ربها ووضع الكتاب وجيء بالنبيين والشهداء وقضي بينهم بالحق وهم لا يظلمون. ووفيت كل نفس ما عملت وهو أعلم بما يفعلون. وسيق الذين كفروا إلى جهنم زمرا، حتى إذا جاءوها فتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم رسل منكم ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يتلون عليكم آيات ربكم وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا بلى ولكن حقت كلمة العذاب على الكافرين قيل ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين وقالوا الحمد لله الذي صدقنا وعده وأورثنا الأرض نتبوأ من الجنة حيث نشاء فنعم أجر العاملين وترى الملائكة حافين من حول العرش يسبحون بحمد ربهم وقضي بينهم بالحق وقيل الحمد لله رب العالمين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد لأمواتنا وأموات الحاضرين وممات على الإيمان
أحسن صلاة على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد إنشاءالله for the next segment إنشاءالله we would like to welcome our dear brother Hassan Salimi for some recitation please help me welcome him with a loud صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين Respected Sheikh Osama, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We again renew our condolences to the Imam of the time, to the leader, to all of the maraji', to all of the ulama, and to all of the mu'minina wal mu'minat. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Insha'Allah, as the words are recited, if we can either close our eyes or try to imagine the situation as it unravels in this poem, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imagine a baby. wrapped in a cloth of white, reflective of their purity, between the hands of purity. Their touch soft like satin, hands so precious yet erratic, eyes like the sands sunken in, skin dry and wrinkled from the scorching heat, but as dehydration sets in, cool yet blotchy hands and feet, as his body fights to keep him alive. He cries, but his face dry, no tears, for his young body cannot make them, dry lips. Little did he know he was about to board the greatest ship that created an ocean in drought. But how? Hussein. His father raised him towards the home of the clouds and told the enemy, as his voice would resound, that if this war is with me, then let this innocent child drink. He told the enemy crowds, and as the enemy decided, an eerie, quiet sound. The zipping of an arrow has never been so loud, and a fountain pouring into the ground. At this moment, the ocean began being born by a baby. At this moment, the ocean began being born by a baby, now silent, as his white cloth now red. But was this his shroud? Or was this the bursting spring that soon this desert by him would enshroud and surround? Do we not say that Al-Hussein is the embodiment of God's Rahmah, ever expanding? And does Ar-Rahman not say that his throne is built upon water? And do we not say that the oceans cover close to 72% of the earth, like the 72 companions who have shown us the true meaning of why we were brought to it and manifested what a human is truly worth? And do we not see that this Husseini revolution spreads like waves from bloody dirt? And do we not see that this Husseini revolution spreads like waves from bloody dirt, from the pouring of drops from the Ali, who was killed soon after childbirth? From the pouring drops from the Ali, who was killed soon after childbirth, when Hussein, his father raised him towards the home of the clouds and told the enemy, as his voice would resound, that if this war is with me, then let this innocent child drink. He told the enemy crowds, and as the enemies decided, an eerie, quiet sound, the zipping of an arrow, has never been so loud, and a fountain pouring into the ground. At this moment, the ocean began being born by a baby, now silent, as his white cloth now red. But was this his shroud? Or was this the bursting spring that soon this desert by him would enshroud? But when Hussein, took the blood of his martyr child and threw it back into the sky, calling, "My Lord, this, my sacrifice to you, that I know you will not deny," it was swallowed by the sky, accepted by the Most High, whose throne is upon water, making his love into an ocean that year after year began flowing evermore with every tear of devotion, and began too in clouds to condensate. Brimming gray, until released were the typhoon's gates, soaking the sands, covering not just the lands, not just the earth, but the entire universe, until the commotion of drops dripped into every second of history, every year, century, every moment. The vortex of time overwhelmed and breached to handle the liquid of love ripped, and the flood of Noah returned, where everyone drowns except the one who by him gripped, and in the flood of desert dryness boarded Hussein's ship. Where everyone drowns except the one who by him gripped, and in the flood of desert dryness boarded Hussein's ship. For the ark of salvation became a nation, walking on the water that from a baby's neck poured. For verily water is the throne of Hussein's Lord. And if you don't want to drown, you must climb aboard with Hussein. His father, as he raised him towards the home of the clouds and told the enemy, as his voice would resound, that if this war is with me, then let this innocent child drink. He told the enemy crowds, and as the enemies decided, an eerie, quiet sound, the zipping of an arrow has never been so loud, and a fountain pouring into the ground. At this moment, the ocean being born by a baby, now silent, as his white cloth, now red, but was this his shroud? Or was this the bursting spring that soon and across time, everything by him would enshroud, and only be saved were the ones who joined his Mahdi, and the rest surely would be drowned. Remember his baby. Remember his baby wrapped in a cloth, soaked and drenched in red, for he is dead. Remember the baby's cloth that used to be white, but through his death surely gave us life, and from Hussein's baby, we weathered the entire flood and the water's storm, and from Hussein's baby, we were born. Assalamu ala Ali al-Asghar. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Hassan, salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, just a few announcements before we begin. Inshallah, the next program will be tomorrow. Doors will open at 8:45 a.m. for the Maqtal. We hope to see you all there, inshallah. Inshallah, after tonight's program, we will be having Maghrib and Isha Salat together for those of you who would like to stay, inshallah. There's also some library books of recommended books in the back. Please feel free to take a look at those. There's also some shirts. If you would like to buy a shirt, they're also there as well. We also want to remind parents that we do have a cafe area downstairs. If children do need a little bit more room or an area for them to be free and talk, the cafeteria is open with the program being live streamed, and there's like some more, there's like activities for the kids. So we ask you, if you do feel that the kids do need a little bit more room, that inshallah you do take them downstairs, and when you feel like they're ready to come back, that inshallah you utilize that space. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, if you could continue to look at our WhatsApp group chat and social media channels for more information of different programs throughout the year. And alhamdulillah, yesterday we gave an update for the Seeds for Hussein campaign. Alhamdulillah, since yesterday, we have raised 65K for the Seeds for Hussein campaign. Inshallah, we have acquired the house directly next to the house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the community helped us purchase last year, to inshallah be able to expand our playground and to expand the school base to have more room for the students as we grow our school and the different youth programs. So thank you all for your support. Inshallah, if you would like to support, there's different ways to do it online. And also, you could reach out to me, Brother Nasir, or any of the volunteers if you would like to donate that way. There's also a box in the front. Thank you all. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Without further ado, inshallah, first of all, I wanted to thank Sheikh for enlightening us these past few days on the topic of the tranquil soul. So alhamdulillah, we are very blessed. And if we could all please welcome him with three loud salawats, as it is our final night with these lectures. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back everyone, and I would like to say Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Is that from Muhammad wa Muhammad? It's a phone? Okay. Salawat please. So brothers and sisters, I would like to say on behalf of myself that it's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you. The pleasure has been all mine. I am very grateful for the presence of a strong community of believers who are unapologetic when it comes to the Islam of Imam Hussein. There's one thing if I was up here speaking, but believe me, your silent support when you sit here through these lectures, and there's been 9 of them, this is the 9th one now, this means the world, because this means the revolution is actually taking place. So, brothers and sisters, we have had a unique honor and privilege. The honor and privilege that we've enjoyed is that for 9 days, we've been the guest of Sayyid al-Shuhada, and we've taken him as a teacher. And we started this Muharram with a big axe in mind. We had a big request from Sayyid al-Shuhada. There was something valuable that we wanted to gain from the Imam. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we know that the world we live in is a world where the enemies of mankind are getting weaker and weaker by the grace of God. The Zionist baby killers, just as an example, the Zionist baby killers, they started this operation, but it brought their own end that much closer. And if you notice, it was so quick that they ran for a ceasefire. If you remember, the last time they started one of these operations, they tried to punish the believers more, but this time the resistance hit back. Yes, it was David versus Goliath. But very, very quickly, they go over and they apologize. Now, what happens, the lesson though, what does that mean for you and I, brothers and sisters? When the global resistance is getting stronger and stronger, do we have a duty here in America? Is there anything that the Imam, who knows each and every one of us, and sees each and every one of our hearts and the stances we take matter to him? Is there anything that he wants from us? The answer is yes, and that was why we were sitting in the tents of Abu Abdullah with that big axe. You see, what we're looking for, what we've been asking for, is tranquility, is peace, is submission, is being one with Allah's system. Those people who are gifted with Quranic tranquility become very brave, brothers and sisters. Those who are brave, I'm going to mention the hadith of the Imam, those who are brave, those who get tranquility from the Imam, become brave. And those who are brave get to do the heavy lifting for the Imam. We don't know how many Muharrams we have before the Imam returns. Those who will benefit the most from the living Imam are those who worked on themselves now. A little bit of that Husseini bravery, brothers and sisters, will do wonders. Imam Hussein was so brave that he literally, with 72, or let's say 100 or so followers, took on the most powerful government of the time, the government of Yazid, the government of Muawiyah, unrivaled dictatorship. There were no major challenges that Muawiyah faced during his rule on earth. Yazid inherited that government. So you're talking about facing the superpower of the time with 72. If that wasn't enough bravery, then what about the bravery of Sayyidah Zainab in chains in front of Yazid without Hussein? Where do you get that from? That comes when the heart's at peace. When there's tranquility, it produces bravery. That bravery, brothers and sisters, if Allah gifts it to us, this Muharram, we get to do the heavy lifting for the Imam. We can be the elite soldiers, the shock troops of the Imam. Let me read you the hadith. The hadith is this: Zakatu Shaja'ah. If Allah has granted you Shaja'ah, if you aren't intimidated, if you aren't weak, if you aren't apologetic, if you will stand up for your God-given rights, what does God give you? The zakat of bravery, brothers and sisters, is that you get to do jihad fi sabilillah. Zakatu shaja'a al-jihad fi sabilillah. So those people who are gifted with bravery, they get to do the heavy lifting for the Imam of the time. If that doesn't happen, let's say Muharram passes, and instead of me learning the lesson to stop sinning, to get in line with God's system, to embrace His religion in its entirety, what happens? If I don't get, and I don't work for that tranquility, what happens? If I remain weak and intimidated and apologetic and willing to accept being a second-class citizen. Hadith. Al-haya yamna ur-rizq. When I'm weak, when I'm apologetic, when I'm soft, I should be brave. I should be strong. I should say I'm going to live with dignity. But I don't. What happens? Hadith. Al-haya yamna ur-rizq. God can have a special treat that He has in store for the mu'min or mu'mina. All it takes is bravery. But if I'm weak, I can't trust God. Al-haya, when it's not supposed to be there, yamna ur-rizq. We end up embarrassing ourselves. There's a story that inshallah is not true. They said once there was a city in Iran called Tabriz. And in Tabriz, there was an elderly couple. They lived in their house. They lived in their house, and one night, a thief broke in. The old man told the old woman, he said, "Don't say anything. Inshallah, he won't see us." And the thief started robbing and stealing everything in the house. And then he turned, and he saw the old people looking at him. He said, "Well, I can't leave any witnesses. I'm going to have to kill you guys." And the thief started walking towards the couple. Then he looked at the woman. He said, "What's your name?" She said, "My name is Fatima." He said, "I can't kill you. My mom's name was Fatima." Then he turned at the old man. He said, "What's your name?" The old man thought to himself, he's like, "I don't know what his dad's name is." He said, "My name is Ghazanfar, but my friends call me Fatima." Al-haya yamna ur-rizq. I could be strong. I could be brave. I could trust God. Back to the question, what is our duty over here in America? Brothers and sisters, Shaitan, Iblis, and his hordes want us to grovel. They want us to be sniveling cowards, to accept our place as second-class citizens, afraid to even exercise our own civil rights. We have constitutional rights. Some Muslims are so afraid they can't even exercise their own civil rights. They can't stand up for themselves. Why is it the case that so many Muslims have an FBI story? Why is it the FBI goes over and they pick on Muslims? What's the secret? The FBI knows better than you and I that you have no responsibility to talk to them. Any lawyer will tell you, no matter how innocent you are, you never talk to the FBI. And the reason is clear. The FBI don't advance in their careers when they exonerate you. When they say, I met Hassan, I met Hussein, I checked, I did research, he was innocent. Does the FBI agent rise in the ranks? No. He rises when he proves you guilty. But what happens? The FBI know that they're dealing with a population whose minds have been colonialized. Islamophobia is designed for you and I to allow and get used to other people talking down to us. I'm used to being a second-class citizen. I'm afraid to even exercise my God-given rights. Instead of me telling the FBI, you can't come into my house, you have a warrant? If you do, do your job. Go get the crazies. Why are you here bothering me? Instead of that, we have FBI agents in our own masjids lecturing us. Brothers and sisters, just recently, again, we had another situation with a Hausa student. What happened? Just now, right? Why? But remember the question, why are they picking on you? They know the rules. Why are they picking on you? They think you're soft. They think you're chumps. Just now we had a situation. Another Hausa student, 6 a.m. in the morning, kicked down the doors, guns drawn, canine unit, walk all over his house, men in the front yard, women in the backyard, cross-examination. Why though? They think you're soft. That you as a Muslim, instead of living with dignity, instead of saying, I have God-given rights, you worried about me exercising my constitutional rights? You think I'm going to talk to you? Why would I talk to you? Any lawyer would tell me I don't, no matter how innocent I am. What does Imam Hussein teach us? Imam Hussein says this, "En lam yakun lakum deen." If you have no deen, وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ, and you're not afraid of the Akhirah. He says, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ هَذِهِ. In this case, at least be free people. Live with dignity. So what does that mean? Because we do have a responsibility here in America. Yes, the heavy lifting, most of it's done overseas. They're the people who are getting bombed. They're the people in Kashmir. You and I, we had a mourning procession, alhamdulillah. In Kashmir, they tried to have a mourning procession. The Indian government, the slaves of the Tawaghit, what did they do to their mourning procession? Afghanistan, their masajid. You and I were gathered, alhamdulillah. What happened in Afghanistan? What did the Zionist lackeys do to the mourners in Afghanistan? Do we have a duty before the imam comes? We've got to live with dignity. It's a light load. Living with dignity. Karama. I'm not a second-class citizen. So, proudly I say,
without any apology. I am opposed to the foreign policies of the Biden administration. When I watch naked aggression, like what happened to our Palestinian brothers and sisters, I will say, I won't call for restraint from both sides, I will say the Palestinians have a God-given right to resist. I'm going to say it how it is. Israel is an apartheid state. I, as a Muslim, as a free person, disagree with domestic policies of the Biden administration. I don't agree with the LGBTQ agenda. God defines family values. God! I'm not going to apologize for that. And just because I have a faith-based, principled stance doesn't mean you get to treat me like an animal. You will deal with me with dignity. Allah said, "Laqad karramna bani Adam." God gave me dignity. And I say, like my master said, "Hayhat minna dhilla." Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now that I got that out of the way, let's go back to our regular discussion. Brothers and sisters, we were talking about acquiring tranquility, Quranic peace. Where we left off in the discussion was, do I have a responsibility when it comes to other mu'mineen? The question, brothers and sisters, that we asked ourselves, let's say Allah grants us Quranic tranquility. Do I have a responsibility? Am I even able to gift sukoon to others, tranquility and itminan to others? Do I have a responsibility? Can I even give it to others? That's one question. The second question would be, supposing that I have the ability to give it to others, what are the rewards in Islam for helping other Muslims experience peace? Let's say I'm able to do it, and I make it a situation in my house where my spouse also experiences tranquility. What's the reward? Third question. The third question is, exactly what am I supposed to do if I want to gift this divine gift of tranquility to another mu'min or mu'mina, let's say my spouse, let's say my family members? What is it that Islam wants me to do? But we'll start, inshallah, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وَعَجَّلْ فَرَجَهُمْ. Brothers and sisters, let me start with a quick statement, because this isn't going to be a very quick, very easy yes or no type answer. The question is, can I gift tranquility and peace to other mu'mineen? Is it a simple yes or no answer? Or is it something that takes a little bit of thought? This first point is important. It's going to be yes and no. Yes and no. Brothers and sisters, you never want to make yourself responsible for somebody else's happiness. Let me repeat this. There's one time when I feel it's my duty to make you happy. I'm going to make you experience peace if it's the last thing I do. Can you and I control somebody's heart? Can I make somebody happy? Or is that something they have to do? If I were to decide it's my job to make you happy, it'll lead me to getting depressed. It's a job I can't do. I can't make somebody happy. I can't do that.
I heard a story that inshallah is not true. They said, no, inshallah, it's not true. There was this man, and he just had gotten married, so he decided to surprise his wife. They're newlyweds. He said, I'm going to surprise my wife, and I'll make her breakfast in bed. So he came to her room, and he had scrambled an egg, and he offered it to his wife. And she said, you scrambled an egg? I wanted a poached egg. Okay, astaghfirullah. The next day he went, and he poached an egg. And he brought it back to his wife, and he said, voila. She said, you poached it. Today I want it scrambled. Third time's a charm. The next day he went and he scrambled one egg and he poached the other. And he came back and he offered it to his wife. And she looked at him and she said, you scrambled the wrong egg. I don't want to make myself responsible for somebody else experiencing joy. Remember the verse of Quran. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. It is only with the remembrance of Allah that the heart finds peace. I have to help that person repair their relationship with Allah so they can experience joy. Not that it's my duty and my job. Now, does that mean I have no responsibility either? It's not something I can do. It doesn't even matter then. No, brothers and sisters, there is some great help that you as a believer can do to helping other human beings experience joy and peace and tranquility. The reward is incredible. It's not the case that I have no taklif. No, no, I do have a responsibility. Yes, I can't make you happy, but I can take practical steps that help you to experience peace and joy. Hadith, what are the rewards then? Second question, what are the rewards for helping someone else experience peace and joy, helping them get towards Allah? What are the rewards? This hadith is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There was a man, and this man came to Rasulullah, and he was talking to him about his spouse. Remember the point. What are the rewards for helping somebody else relax, experience tranquility? He came to Rasulullah, and he mentioned his wife. He said, I have a wife. He says, my wife is like this. When I come home from work, my wife meets me at the door. When I leave, I'm walking out to go to work, my wife comes and she walks with me as I approach the door. He said that if my wife sees me worried, sees me concerned, sees me stressed, she says, what is troubling you? Why are you so afraid? What are you so concerned about? He said, my wife asks me, is it that you're worried about your rizq? You're the husband, you have to provide. Financially, we're not doing so well. Are you concerned? You're seeing that we don't have enough money to make it to the end of the month. She said, if you're concerned about your rizq, your provision, that's in God's hands. You don't worry about that. Somebody else takes care of that. You relax. She said, but if it's your akhirah that you're worried about, you're worried about, that's a righteous fear. She said, if you're worried about your akhirah, may Allah increase you in worry. The Prophet listened to the description of the wife. He said, your wife is one of the workers of God on the earth. Give her the good tidings that every day she gets the reward of 70 shaheed. How much reward is there
for reassuring other believers, allowing them to relax, allowing them to do their responsibility, helping them to experience tranquility. 70 shaheed. Where do we see this in Karbala? In Karbala, as Imam Hussein is moving along the way, he's riding on his horse, the caravan is moving towards Karbala, and our Imam dozes off. Our Imam wakes up suddenly from his dream, and he's now saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ali Akbar is listening, and he sees his father saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He comes and he rides his horse. He comes over to his father. Everything okay? Why are you saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un? What's going on? Are you concerned? There are lessons in this, brothers and sisters. Are you concerned? Are you worried? Are you stressed? The Imam said, I had a dream. My dream is that we're going, I met a rider. The rider said, these people, they're advancing towards, they're moving and their deaths are approaching. These people are going to die. The people in this dream, they're all going to go and meet God. It's definite we're not making it out of Karbala. Ali Akbar wants to reassure his father. He said, Father, are we on the right path? Are we doing what God said? Are we on the right path? He said, yes, we're on the right path. He said, "Idhan la nubali bil maut." He said, we're not worried about death then. Reassuring the Imam was so great, the Imam prayed for him. May Allah give you the best reward. So yes, brothers and sisters, we do have a responsibility when it comes to helping others, to help them to experience peace, and the rewards are incredible. It's one of our duties. Now, let's go on to the third question. The third question, brothers and sisters, is, I know I need tranquility in order to experience God's best. I know I can't make someone feel tranquil. I can't control their heart. I know God does that. But I do know there is a huge role for other human beings in our lives. I can definitely help. There is no help like another believer who's reminding you of God. Let me mention some of our shuhada. There was a battle which was known as the Battle of Badr, the Amaliyat of Badr. It was an operation in Iran. Who are the people who we're talking about? We're talking about the greatest of our shuhada, Qasim Soleimani, other of our great shuhada. He tells a story. He says, it had been 3 years where we had been trying to defeat the enemy. We're fighting World War III. 3 years. So much planning goes into it. So much thinking. These are lives of the best of Allah's creation. So much planning. And we would do an operation and wouldn't have great success. Then we would do another operation. Again, major operation. Not have great success. We're having smaller victories in between, but that kind of battle that would change the destiny of the war, it wasn't happening. The third battle was the battle for called Badr, and air over there, not only was it not very successful, they lost one of our greatest shuhada, Shahid Mahdi Baqiri. Those mukhlisin, they got to a stage that they, many of them, started to feel depressed. He says, Imam Khomeini sent us a message. I heard that some of you are unhappy with the situation, unhappy with what's going on. He said, don't be worried at all. If you're doing this for the sake of God, you're victorious right now. Qiyam for Allah, there is no defeat. You're doing your responsibility. Right now, you prepare for the next operation. He explained to them, he said, Amirul Mu'mineen, Rasulullah, they were defeated sometimes. They had setbacks. They would try to set out to do something. It doesn't always work that way. Qasim Soleimani says, when we got that message of the Imam, we got so much hope again. It led to one of their greatest victories. Responsibility now. How do I help other believers to experience peace and joy? Remember that verse of Quran from the beginning. Allah bidhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. It is only with the remembrance of Allah that the hearts experience peace. Hadith now. How do I help others experience peace? The hadith says this. Our prophet, Nabi Isa, was asked by his disciples. They said, who should we sit with? Man nujalis. Who should we take as company? Who should we be feel so lucky if we have them to sit with us and to spend time with us? He gave three characteristics. And these are marching orders for you and I. He said, قال, Nabi Isa said, who should you sit with? مَنْ يُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ رُؤْيَتُهُ. That person who, as soon as you see them, you gaze upon them, they remind you of Allah. وَيَزِيدُ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُ. That person who, when they speak to you, they increase you in knowledge. وَيُرَغِّبُكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُ. The actions of this person, when you watch them behaving, doing their responsibility, it reminds you of God. You and I, if we want to help other people experience peace, we have to, practically speaking, become dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our family members need to be reminded by Allah by looking at us, by us doing our responsibilities, by the words that we say. We want them to experience joy. It helps when you have a live example in front of you. So, brothers and sisters, if we want to help other people to experience joy, then all of the things we're mentioning are necessary for others, hopefully ourselves. We've got to do those in practice. We can't be someone who in our personal lives picks and chooses with Islam. A person who picks and chooses with Islam, you never have peace with that person. It's always the quiet before the storm with that person. We want other people to experience joy. You and I, we've learned from the ayat of the Quran, people who pick and choose with Islam, they're bullies and mean. So you never experience peace with them. I want somebody else to experience joy. I have to make sure I'm not mean and a bully. Otherwise, it's no peace. It's the quiet before the storm. Another story that's not true, inshallah. There was this couple, and they were celebrating their 90th birthday. They were around 90 years old for 60 years of marriage, and it had been very, very successful. So a reporter came, and he said, I'd like to know the secret. What was the secret for your long, happy marriage? The man explained. He said that when we first got married, for our honeymoon trip, we took a trip to the Grand Canyon. He said we started going down the Grand Canyon and we were riding on mules. He said that we were riding on mules and my wife's mule stumbled. And I heard my wife very quietly say, that's once. We went a little further, and my wife's mule stumbled for a second time. And I heard my wife very quietly say, that's twice. My wife and I continued down the mountain, and my wife's mule stumbled for the third time. And my wife took out a revolver, and she shot the mule in between the eyes. And I was so upset. I said, Astaghfirullah, animal rights. My wife turned to me and very quietly said, that's once. Since then, it's been 60 years of peace. The first step in making others experience tranquility is that you and I, as the mu'min or mu'mina, I don't pick or choose with Islam. Now, we've got to make sure that we introduce Islam as is, but allow me, we only have 5 minutes before Karbala, to explain one more thing that's going to help us. Brothers and sisters, yesterday I shared a concept called the real aqidah. And I said that's different than the textbook aqidah. I want to help my family to experience peace and joy. I want to do my responsibility. I want to get all of that reward. In order for you and I to do that, one of the steps we have to do, is to fix my real aqidah. My textbook aqidah, everybody has. My real aqidah is something else. I'm going to share something, brothers and sisters, and let's think about this. What is it that makes you and I tick? What gives you true joy in your life? Everybody think about it for yourself. What gives you true joy? When do you really feel you've reached somewhere? You've achieved something. These are my crowning achievements. I'm going to give you a typical example. And then after that, we'll try and see what the real aqidah should be. These things aren't bad, by the way. This is the typical aqidah. And it's not bad. For many people, when I experience peace and joy, it's when I achieve my goals. I was working for something. I put in the effort. I get the results. For many people, people like me, that's what gives me true peace and joy. Example, let's say I worked and I finally got into school. I was able to go over and to get into university. For some people, I feel a sense of achievement. I'm not saying that's bad, by the way. For some people, when I graduate, alhamdulillah, 4 years of effort, I've graduated, I've got my degree. For some people, I feel a sense of achievement. For some people, I land my real job or a dream job. I really feel good. For some people, I bought my first house. I got married. I had my first child. Right? For some people, I changed the furniture in my house. I really feel good now. I really feel joy now. I'm not saying any of these things are bad. Brothers and sisters, we human beings, at our core, we're very simple. At our core, when we achieve our goals, we feel joy. We feel satisfaction. What's the real aqidah, though? Brothers and sisters, where is God in you and our lives? We know the textbook answer. The textbook's answer, anybody, why were you created? Right? It's very easy to say, Allah created us to worship. Right? That's the textbook answer. How much do divine victories give me true peace and joy? I'm not saying any of those things were bad. But is it really the case that my aqidah is based around the concept that Allah is my Lord? And whenever I get closer to Him, that's a victory? Do I really feel honest? Let's be honest with ourselves. That whenever I've done something that made God happy, I literally feel a deep sense of calm. If that's the case, victories and defeats really shouldn't matter then. Let me give you an example. This way that I'm trying to describe is a way of living that Imam Sajjad teaches us. I want to learn how to experience real peace and joy. Where is God in my life? Is it the case that my life is based around the idea of getting closer to Him? Every time I take an action which gets me closer to God, it gives me joy. When I am further from God, when I've taken a step backwards, that gives me sadness. Hadith now. The hadith is from Imam Sajjad. He says, if God's really the goal, min ahabbis sabil ila Allah azza wa jal. If God's really the goal, one of the things that gives me, there's two steps, two drinks, the Imam says, are the most beloved drinks to God. We're going to go to Karbala now. I'm not going to be able to finish this entirely. There are two drinks that are the most beloved drinks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two situations. Remember the principle. He says one of them is a situation which angers me, but I swallow my anger. There's a situation that irritates the mu'min or mu'mina. God gave me tawfiq. I did my responsibility. I was able to control my anger. That bitter drink got me closer to God. He says the other one is a musibah, a tragedy, an affliction that I was able to be patient in. Is it really the case that I live for God no matter what interaction I have with my spouse? I'm always able to consistently do my responsibility to them because I'm always winning. I'm always doing what God said. And as long as I'm doing what God said, the situation which would make somebody else face depression, misery, life isn't fair. I was successful in doing what God said, which brought me closer to Him. And He's my real goal. But brothers and sisters, we have to go to Karbala. Inshallah, we'll be able to speak more about this at another time. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر لهدي مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. For the love of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, please recite another loud Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. For the love of her sons, Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam, please recite a third Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة وخزان العلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt. It was in your homes that Allah blessed us with guidance and revelation, and upon you descend the angels day in, day out. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك يا أيها الشهيد بكربلاء May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my Imam, who was martyred near the shores of the Euphrates with your mouth dry of thirst. Tonight, we knock on a Bab al-Hawa'ij whose hands are those of a baby. But if with those hands of that baby, if he raises them and asks anything from Allah, surely Allah will respond. This is the youngest soldier of Imam al-Husayn. He is the one who showed the madlumiyya of Imam al-Husayn. This is the infant of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Oh, my dear Ali al-Asghar, brothers and sisters, tonight is the night of Ashura. Imagine the camps of Imam Hussein. These are the last few hours of the women and children seeing Abbas patrolling the tents and staying in the protection of this warrior. These are the last hours they will have in the company of their Imam Abu Abdullah. Imam Hussein gazes on the dry plains of Karbala on this day of Ashura. He sees his noble companion slain on the field. The bodies of his Ahlul Bayt, his Abbas, lays on the shores of the Euphrates. Ali al-Akbar's chest torn by a spear. But Hussein, Hussein, do you know that your Akbar may be gone? But soon, so will your Asghar. He cries, هل من ذعب يذب عن حرم رسول الله هل من مغيث يرجو الله بإغاثتنا Is there anyone who will help the haram of رسول الله Is there anyone Who will come seeking to please Allah? How shall they fare when He will fall? The tents will burn. Who will they call? Who will they call? Hussein. Don't leave, take our hand. Hussein, don't leave, please rise and stand. He comes to bid farewell to his daughters and sisters. Then he goes outside to the tents. But before mounting his horse, he must bid farewell to one more soldier. At this point, there is only one cry that remains. Is it the cry of poetry recited by Abbas entering the battlefield? Is it the words of Qasim seeking permission? Is it a warrior with their armor and sword? No, it is your six-month-old baby who cries from his thirst. All of those who were in the camp of Imam Hussein experienced thirst, but none like Ali al-Asghar, for his mother hasn't had any milk to give to her baby. The narrations liken Ali al-Asghar's thirst. The narrations liken Ali al-Asghar's thirst to the way a fish gasps for water. Imagine the lips of this baby Ali before my last fight. Zainab, let me hold him tight before my last fight. Zainab, let me hold him tight. Hussein decides that let me take this baby and get some water for him. Maybe this is the last service I can do for my baby. According to some reports, he goes to the army of Yazid and holds his baby high up in the sky and says, do you not know who I am? I am the grandson of Rasulullah. I am the son of Ali and Fatima. Do you not know the words of the Prophet? Then Hassan and Hussein are the Sayyidi Shababi Ahl al-Jannah. We are the leaders of youth of paradise. Do you not know my uncles, Hamza and Ja'far al-Tayyar? Do you really wish to proceed with what you have resolved to do? If so, I have one last request to ask from you. This baby of mine is thirsty. I rise him here for you to witness his cries. فَإِن لَمْ تَرْحَمُونِي فَارْحَمُوا هَذَا الطِّفْ. If you do not feel mercy for me, then feel mercy for this baby. The hearts of Umar ibn Sa'd's armies began to waver. What crime can a six-month-old commit? Can we not give this little one some water? Can we not give this little one some water? But in the enemy's ranks, there stands a man with a heart harder than the hardest stone. By the order of Umar ibn Sa'd, Harmala knows he must silence his plea. Seize these cries, this is Ali's demise. Seize these cries, this is Ali's demise. He notches his arrow to his bow. Oh, Harmala, will you really attack a child with no sword nor shield? Harmala, may the curse of Allah be upon you eternally. A three-pronged arrow flies over the sands of Karbala, piercing the very neck of Ali al-Asghar. How lucky were you that when an arrow flew, calmly you rest, in his arms you lie. And for the rest, he was to their side. You rest, in his arms you lie. For the rest, he was to their side. But for you, in his arms you cry. Let me throw your blood to the sky. Let me throw your blood to the sky. The Imam throws his blood to the sky. He cries to Allah, the only reason I can bear this is because of Allah. You are indeed the witness of this tragedy. Some reports say that a call from the sky came. Don't worry, Hussein. Don't you worry, Hussein. Surely there will be someone in the heavens to care for your baby. But what a calamity has fallen on the heart of Hussein. What will he say? What will he say to his sister Ruqayya when she will ask, did my brother have a drink of water? Where is my brother Ali? Where is my brother Ali? Oh, the anguish in Hussein's heart. How can he face his mother? What shall I tell her? How can I tell her that her baby has been martyred without water? How will he face his mother and show her what they've done to her baby? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. رضا بقضائه وتسليما بأمره إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رضا بقضائه وتسليما بأمره إنا لله. Can we imagine our imam pacing back and forth? How do I tell his mother what they've done to her baby? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ridan biqada'ihi wa tasneeman bi'amrih. Tomorrow Hussein will be massacred on the plains of Karbala. It will be the day when his head will be upon a spear. Zainab will be taken captive along with the other men of the progeny of Rasulullah. Zainab wonders, how will I bear separation from my brother? Weren't you there when our mother's door was burned? Will you be here when our tents will be burned? Weren't you there when our mother's door was burned? Will you be here when our tents will be burned? Weren't you there when Hassan's liver was on a plate? Now will I have to see your head presented on another plate? It's as though Zainab has a conversation with the night sky. Oh, this is the last night between Hussein and his sister. It was as though Zainab wishes for this night to prolong. It is as though Zainab wishes for tomorrow's sun not to rise. Oh, night, prolong your hours. Ya lail tawil saatak. Ya lail tawil saatak. Ya lail ahmil aatak. Oh, night, prolong your hours. Oh, night, hold your sighs and cries. Oh, night, prolong your hours. Oh, night, hold your tears and cries. Oh, night, hold your tears and cries. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ya Allah, we ask you on this night of Ashura, we call upon you by your greatest name, the mightiest, the most honorable, to send your blessings and praise upon Muhammad and his family, and that you accept of us our worship. We ask that you accept our tears as intercessors on the day of the judgment. We ask that you send your mercy upon the deceased of the believing men and women. We ask you by Hussein, the martyr, and his mother and father, for whoever was in this gathering of ours and has a need, that you fulfill it for him. We pray that you relieve the suffering of all those oppressed, and that you hasten the return of our 12th Imam. May the peace of Allah be upon the noble Hussein, the children of Hussein, and the family of Hussein. May the peace of Allah be upon the noble Abbas and the honorable Zainab. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala aliyyab wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Let your voices go to Karbala. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala أصحاب الحسين. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, to prepare for the Latmiya, please arrange the chairs to the right of the hall, inshallah. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
it.
So to organize the Latmiya, please make sure there's tape on the ground for the first person on in the line, and just inshallah follow that person, and you can make lines facing each other. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Everyone together. Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? One more time. Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? He cried, he was thirsty. My heart longed for Abbas to bring it swiftly. I heard with my ears the cries of Asghar in the tents. He was so thirsty. I saw with my eyes the dried up lips and parched tongue of Asghar. Oh, our journey fell from the cradle, Ali, and come to my arms and see, where is the mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? He cried, he was thirsty. My heart longed for Abbas to bring it swiftly. I heard with my ears the cries of Asghar in the tents. He was so thirsty. I saw with my eyes the dried up lips and parched tongue of Asghar. Oh, our journey fell from the cradle, Ali, and come to my arms and see, where is the mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? no mercy. Was there no mercy for thee? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Maybe for a child they would spare some water as they should my younger Ali. Even the beasts who had no hearts becoming torn apart became teary. To the field I will take him, I'll hold him, I'll rise him, this is his glory. Ruqayya, come and take him, Ruqayya, come and hug him, leave your brother, kiss him, was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? O Ibrahim, I ask you for the strength that it took you to give your dear Ali. But was your Ali so young, and was he met with arrows, for this is a victory? How heartless must one be to order a three-pronged arrow to silence his plea? How heartless must one be to order a three-pronged arrow to silence his plea? How do I turn my face and show his mother what they've done to her baby? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? The plains colored with his flood in my palms, a red flood. The plains colored with his blood in my palms, a red flood. Hussein scenery. And now with his blood the skies cry, I'll forever remain dry, for I'm not worthy. And now with his blood the earth cries, I'll never bear fruit, for I'm not worthy. And so his blood drenched my beard. This is where it shall be our destiny. Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Was there no mercy shown to the grandsons of Ali? Was there no mercy? Ya Ali, 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 Ali, ya 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 Ali. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, 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 labbaik labbaik Allahumma labbaik. We begin our day with your name, Every breath we take with your name, how holy every sip we take. If we recall our Hussein, labbaik. Humma labbaik. Humma labbaik, labbaik Allah. Humma labbaik, labbaik Allah. Like Muslim, we're loyal to you. Our old like Habib are for you. Our young like Qasim are for you. Every man that breathes is for you. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Cut a thousand pieces of me. Cut a thousand pieces of me. Scatter them from west to the east. Bring them back and I'll stay with you. Take me back, I'll fight along you. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla. None like you, O my beloved. None like you, none like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla, whose path can be greater towards the Creator. Wa sallallahu alayka, ya Hussein, ya Hussein. Ya Hussein, what's up? I look to the heavens, Father. These people have no more honor. They've taken you and uncle from me. They took Akbar and my Asghar away from you. Who will look after me? I will live my love with. I live with. I will live my life with no mercy. Orphan in the world where you are the sun, the moon, another son of Ali. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla. None like you, O my beloved Hussein, my Mawla, whose path can be greater towards the Creator. Wa sallallahu alayka, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein. Wherever I am taken, Father, no matter what, I will remember how you taught us to fight and stand tall.
like your beloved dear mother. I may be small with only my tears, but for you I will face all my fears. Let them think that they have broken us. Your name will be remembered for years. None like you, oh my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, none like you. Oh, my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, none like you. Oh, my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, whose path can be greater towards the Creator. Wa sallallahu alayka, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, none like you, oh my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, none like you, oh my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, none like you, oh my beloved Hussein, my Mawlai, whose path can be greater towards the Creator. Wa sallallahu alayka, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein, ya Hussein. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein.
نتوجه لزيارة الإمام الحسين عليه السلام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله. السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين. السلام عليك يا ابن الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله ورحمة الله وبركاته. دعاء الفرج. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة ولياً وحافظاً وقائداً وناصراً ودليلاً وعيناً حتى تسكنه أرضك وتمتعه فيها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Brothers, if we could have your help to please put the chairs back, inshallah, so that could help us prepare. We hope to see everybody tomorrow at 9 a.m. Doors open at 8:45 for the maqta, inshallah. Adham Allah ajurukum. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, just the first like seven rows. The chairs in the back, you guys could leave them just because we're going to pray, inshallah, here.
Inna lillahi